We are interested in spiritual well-being, teachings of Christ. You gain the true knowledge, as we discovered. We see wisdom and understanding. We see God, His judgments, His ways. We can be built up. We can be rooted in the faith. We can be made complete in Christ. Through the study of the gospel and obedience to it, we can gain forgiveness of sins. That's very important. Only through Christ and the gospel can we get forgiveness of sins. Only way to heaven. Christ said, I am the way, the true way, the living way. So, only through Christ's teaching can we even have that hope. And we also see that in the gospel of Christ, we see Christ having all authority, that He is the head of the body of whom we are a member of, and His instructions will tell us how to grow, how to live, how to please Him. And so that is the benefits. So many more. You can read Ephesians 1, spiritual blessings and things. But in Colossians 2, those were the things specifically mentioned. And so, versus the teachings of men. And of course, he had to deal with the Gnostics. He had to deal with the law of Moses. And the philosophers. And so, the teachings of men. What did you put down for verse 8? Colossians 2, verse 8. What did someone put down? What is the effect of the teachings of men as found in verse 8? It says, see that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men. What did you put down?
It's contrary to Christ.
It's contrary to Christ, but it's empty. It's empty deception. It's foolish, it's futile, it's vain. It's not going to fill you up with anything that is spiritual like the gospel of Christ. It's not going to do anything for you. It's empty. Okay. Any thoughts on that? Verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. In Christ we have forgiveness. What's verse 13? Therefore, if you're not in Christ, if you're not following the gospel of Christ, where does that leave you, verse 13? Still what?
Dead in your sins.
Dead in your sins. Unforgiven. Do we want to meet God in that state? Are we going to listen to the teachings of men? You know, sometimes people don't really get to that kernel of truth, that their traditions of men, their teachings, their wisdom. I am so sorry we locked you out. I'm glad you're here.
I'm not sure I have to, but I'm not sure if I'm locked. Okay.
It'll be fine. I didn't realize you were coming. So sorry.
Okay. I'd rather be locked than not.
Yes. Especially when I come through, there was someone on the street.
Yes.
So, okay. Verse 14. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What was the law of Moses after Christ nailed it to the cross? And even before, what was the law? It was hostile to men. They couldn't keep it perfectly. It was hostile to them. In Christ, we have forgiveness, and His blood keeps on cleansing if we remain faithful, if we repent, if we confess, it keeps on cleansing. We keep on being forgiven. Not Christ doesn't have to go to the cross year after year, day after day. Every little thing we do, you know, it's not hostile to us. When we have the true knowledge, when we have Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and alive, it's not hostile to us. It's beneficial. It's every spiritual blessing. It's beneficial. We can be complete before God. The Israelites under the law were not. Else Christ would not have to have died, and Joshua would not have talked about another rest. They already had the Sabbath. Okay. Verse 17. Melissa, you want to read that?
Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ.
Okay. So the law of Moses was what? Just a shadow. It wasn't real. Christ, as we read down a little bit further there in that verse, is the substance, is the whole. It's the real, not the shadow, just like the law. Okay? Verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you. Bobby, would you read that, please?
Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen and inflated without cause by his fleshly mind.
Okay. The word there, what did you put down? What did y'all put down? That is an effect of the teachings of men or the law of Moses. What's the word there? Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize. Fraud.
Cheating.
What?
It says, well, the New King James says, let no one cheat you of your reward.
Exactly. And so, frauds, inflated by their fresh minds. That means that they are trying to deprive you of something by means of something that's not real, not good, that won't be beneficial, of your salvation. They're trying to keep you from your prize, as Susan said. Fraud. Whether it's intentional or not.
ESV says, let no one disqualify you.
Disqualify you. Okay. And what do you think that would mean? I'm going to see what the other versions say. Defraud, beguile you, the King James Version says, beguile, instead of fraud, you know, defraud. So they're trying to, Satan beguiled Eve in the garden. He lied. He told her something that was not true to get her to act in such a way. That's what this means. To cheat you of your reward, the New King James Version. Rob, ASV. And the NIV, do not who delights in false humility and the worship of angels, disqualify you.
The NIV says,
do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they've seen. That's why you have to watch the NIV. They elaborate a whole lot. Okay. You know, now, you know, in humble-mindedness, I have to say that the Young's Literary Translation says, let no one beguile you of your prize, delighting in humble-mindedness and in worship of the messengers, that's angels, intruding into the things he had not seen, being vainly puffed up by the mind of his flesh. So, you know, they sort of loosely reworded that. But, frauds, fleshly minds, will rob you if you listen to them of your prize. Okay, verse 19. Sally, you want to read verse 19?
And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God.
Okay, so where'd you get from that? If you're not in the body of Christ, and he's the head of the body, and you're over here listening to the teachings of men, following that, what's the conclusion?
You're lost.
Well,
you're following the world.
Exactly. If not holding fast to the head. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the saved. If you're over here, you're not connected to Christ as head. He is not head of anything else. He's head of the church, the saints. So you're without the head. What would a body do without a head? It's dead. It doesn't know how to work. And so, you're not connected. That's the effect it has. That's the consequence of it. Okay, verse 20. Lauren?
Therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourself to regulation?
What are you following? Principles of the world. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Turn on your TV and just see how glorious it is. Walk down the street. Watch people in New York and Chicago and Houston and, you know, every small town in America. What's going on? And so, in our schools, following the principles of the world instead of what the Creator, the God of heaven, and his beloved Son has said. And there are so many examples of that, and we can talk about those later. Okay, verse 22. Susan?
Which often some things which perish with the
okay, so what did you put down? And what's the end? In this verse, what did you find the end to be?
Perish.
Destined to perish. So you get to the end of the road, in all good conscience, you have followed doctrines of men, and you get to the judgment bar, and that doctrine of men is not what's opened up. The Word of God is what's going to be opened up, and the Lord Jesus, whose authority it is going to step there and say, depart, because you didn't obey my commandments. That's Matthew 7. So, doomed to perish, it won't save you. That is scary, because it's not just those angel worshipers out there. It's not the devil worshipers out there. It's people who are following doctrines of men and principles of the world. Jesus is the one that said it, there are many, many that are going to perish. Let's be careful that we're not part of that crowd. Rita, verse 23.
These things to me have an appearance of wisdom and self-control, cause humility and neglect of pride, but are of no value
to be judged for the flesh. Okay, no value. No value. What does no value mean against fleshly indulgence? What does that mean? To have no value against that.
Worthless.
Worthless. Worthless. You want to beat immorality? You want to beat lying? You want to beat not loving your brother? You want to beat all the fleshly lusts and things of this world? Craig Moore beat drinking by the word of God and obeying Jesus and lay it down. The teachings of men will not be beneficial for you to get rid of the old life to get to the new life. God tells us what the new life is all about and how to do it. Teachings of men are worthless, impossible to free, number one, to free them from sin, and number two, to tell them how to be better. God wants you to be happy. Heard that? There are so many other doctrines that we're going to maybe get to and cover that come out of this idea of feel-good religion. And it's worthless. Okay, any other points on that? Let's turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter. Melissa, would you read 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4?
Seeing that His divine power has granted to us every faith pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust.
Isn't that wonderful? You read that, you can have confidence in that. You can take hope in that. He's granted us everything that pertains to life and God. We just need to read, understand His wisdom, and follow Him. Okay, any other thoughts on that section? Number 9, Colossians 2:10. Through 14. And in Him you have been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What's Paul's point? To these Colossians.
I said that if you died with Christ, then why are you clinging to these traditions?
Right. If Christ nailed it to the cross and you were buried with Christ and then you were raised to walk, then why are you going back under the law and its, you know, its ordinances and everything, you know, they were going back. The Pharisees, the scribes, even the Jews of that day, you know, of course they kept following Paul around. But now they're in Colossae too. There is a synagogue there in the first century. And the Jews are trying to get the Gentiles, and even they are practicing, trying to go back under the law. Keep some of the law, not like keeping a vow, like Paul did, but in order for salvation, to be right with God under the law instead of under Christ through the cross. So, he's telling these Colossians, it's gone. God canceled it by the cross of Jesus. God had a covenant with Israel. He canceled that covenant because he put into a new covenant. You can read Hebrews, learn more about it. Any thoughts? Also, it talks about him stripping the power from the leaders. We talked about that. They didn't like that a bit. And in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. When the Romans come and burn Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, of course, there went the priesthood, there went everything. You know, it was a total end by then. So, you're right. Why go back and practice that stuff? Well, let's put us in a situation. We've been used to saying, say we've been used to cursing. And we become Christians. And we learn better. How do you think, what do you think God would say if we went back to cursing, you know, as a way of life? He'd probably say the same thing, wouldn't he? You were redeemed. You were forgiven. You're a new person. Why are you going back and doing that? We can pick any weakness. We can pick any avenue of our lives. I used to do this, but I learned better, so I don't do that anymore. Because it's contrary to the will of God. Any thoughts? Anything to share about that? Okay. These Colossians had everything they needed to be complete and right before God. And they had, that's complete, is that everything to be saved. Not only that, through his word, they could become mature like Christ. Complete. Second. Complete. More like Christ. Be like to the stature of Christ. As Paul writes. So, we have everything. What we need to do is focus our attention and heart and will on that. So, I ask, what are some modern day doctrines and traditions of men that might draw us away? Did anybody put down anything?
Dress.
Yeah. Dress.
Are no dress.
I know it. Okay, dress. What about grace covers all our sins? That's true in a sense. But let me tell you, my grandfather was a good Baptist, but he was a scoundrel. He was a deacon. Oh, grace covers everything, he told my dad when they were talking about the gospel and everything. You know, you can't, because of the Protestant principle, you can't be lost. And so we can get fooled in. I know some people in my family. They think they can just live any way and every now and then go and sit on the pew and pray. And if their heart is right, God may forgive them. But they don't make one change. But God's grace and God's love is there and it's going to cover me. That's wrong. That's not what God says. Then my neighbor said, doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in Jesus as the Son of God. How many of us heard that? You don't have to go to church to be saved. How many have heard that? Where does it say in the Bible, you gotta go to church? Marriage, divorce, remarriage. Okay. As long as you are baptized believers. I know somebody really close who believes that. Of course, women elders, women preachers, women not in respectful subjection to their husbands.
We see that in the church.
Absolutely. It is prevalent among God's people.
The overarching idea that God wants me to be happy and all of the things that come from that, like, I mean, you can, using that reasoning, you can reason your way into anything.
Exactly.
This doesn't make me happy, so I'm not going to do this.
Exactly. And then, I don't know about you guys, but I see pictures on Facebook, or I go to weddings of Christian young ladies. The dress is horrible. You're talking about dress. Weddings. There's dancing. There's booze. Kevin was so clear about alcoholic beverages being brought to the wedding. And do you know that my son-in-law found beer because a couple of the groomsmen brought it here, there, and Stephen told them, if we get fined because you're not supposed to have alcoholic beverages, and not only that, it is totally against everything they believe, you will pay the fine, and you will be the one with the charge. People just seems they cannot get away from it. Now, Kevin has come out of the world. He's a Christian. He told them it's not allowed in the house, you know, when they come over. But his best man, who is another police officer, and another one of the groomsmen, they're used to drinking their beer. They couldn't even come to a wedding without bringing it. And so, you just really have to be careful. And of course, we were talking about dress. Different dress for different events. I know someone who would like, because of a physical issue, put their daughter in gymnastics, but they will not because of the dress. And as they get a little older, it would have an imprint on them. You can't start a practice and then wait till they're 16 and turn that around. And so they're seeking another avenue of that. But different dress. Anyone else have something that they might like to add that you've seen, you know?
Well, you know, sincere people will go out and try to reach other people, but they'll leave out those stepping back. Yes, and, you know, they'll take a wipe to the fair, but they don't.
Exactly. Faith-only type thing. Yeah, absolutely. What about evolution? It's so bad. It's so bad. Because that starts with God is, you know. But anything else? Okay. Colossians, the third chapter. Let me just start there. This is another section. If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Okay, it sounds like that there is a job to do. That this is not a, if you want to, if it seems good to you, it's a command from the head of those people that's been raised up with him. Keep seeking. Keep setting your mind on things above. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be the best you can be. He wants that new self that's in his image. So, what does Paul mean? Keep seeking and setting your mind.
Ongoing thing to continue. It's not once you're asked, you're next, or you'll continue to.
Okay. Seeking. What do you think that means? Like you're right. It just keep you keep on doing this.
Looking for.
Searching. Actually, deliberately, desperately searching for. Trying to obtain, to crave for, as Peter puts it. And so, seeking, deliberately searching for. And then, set your mind. What's that mean?
Focus.
Focus? With intent to do. It's got the will involved. Remember Ezra? He set his heart to do what? To learn God's word, to teach God's word, to follow God's word. He set his heart. Set your mind. And keep thinking about. Not just will it one day and the rest of the time forget it, but keep thinking about it. It shows thought and disposition of heart for God's interest. Okay. Verse 2. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things below. What do you think that's talking about? Exactly. Spiritual things pertaining to godliness versus earthly gratification, lust, teachings of men. Everything pertaining to God and godliness versus earthly things. It goes back to that treasure of the heart thing that Paul talks about and Jesus talks about. Okay, in Colossians 3:10, we go down and read that. Put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So, Colossians 3:10 renewed according to the image of Christ, renovated, restored to a perfect state after it's been ruined. That's what God, through Jesus, does for us with His Word. We're ruined. We're sinners. We're saved through Christ. We can be renewed back to a glorious state. First Peter 1:13. Bobby, you want to read that? First Peter 1:13.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Gird up your minds. Keep sober. Minds and actions are unhindered. Single in purpose, not diverted. Your hope should be completely on the grace of God. Of course, through Christ, through obedience to His Word. 1 Timothy 4:7-10. Lauren, you want to read that?
But reject the vain and old wise fables and exercise yourself for godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe.
Okay, we're talking about keep seeking, keep setting your mind on the things above, on being godly before God, growing to His image. It takes discipline. It takes training. Here Paul and Timothy is talking to a young preacher. What's he going to teach those people in Ephesus? What's he going to be as a young preacher? Train as an athlete is what discipline means. To correct, to cultivate. We're going to find that we're mistaken about things. We're going to find that we need to correct this and that and the other. That's all part of the keep seeking and the keep doing and the setting the mind, resetting, examining. So, we fix our hope on the living God. We don't need to get our eye off the ball. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to do it perfectly. But as long as we fix our hope on God and do our dead level best to follow His Word, make the changes that's necessary when we, and repent, that's what that means. Stop doing what we found out was not right and start doing right. That's what my little kids in the class said. Repent means stop doing wrong and start doing right. And so, that's what we do. Any thoughts on that? Okay, Sally, read Colossians 3:4.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory.
Okay, what did someone put down for what is meant by Christ is our life? What'd you put down? He's the means through which we have eternal life. What else? That's very good.
He
We were raised to walk in newness of life. How do we do that? If He is our life, if He is Lord of our life, we follow Him. Yeah. It's His authority we want to follow. He is our life. We become His. We belong to Him. He's the head. He's our life because He gives us eternal life through His suffering, through our faith in that. But He is our life, this new self. When we are totally devoted to serving Him, He becomes the way we live. Any thoughts? Anything else that anyone said? Number three. And you know, we studied over in Colossians 1. Let's go back over there a minute. Let's read that again. I want you to, verse 10. You know, he talked about the hope that they had. They learned the gospel. He talked about praying for them, verse 9, that they'd be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Does that sound like your life to you? That it ought to be? That's what Paul prayed for these Colossians. That's what the Holy Spirit wanted for these Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 10. I'm sorry. We need to stop. I didn't even look. I just now looked up. So we'll start, Lord willing, with number 3 about putting on the new self. And may I ask you, when you get over to number 6, describe the kind of heart one is to have. Of course, it's going to be one of compassion, kindness, humility, so forth and so on. Make a couple little notes about what that means and how that applies to this congregation. What about that compassion? What about that kindness? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about one another here.